Welcome to the Kingdom Eagles Church, where hearts and minds are always in one accord. And the multitude of they that believed were of one heart and of one mind. Beloved, every stage in life has its own challenges. We tend to differ in the way we handle or solve them, be it out of ignorance, misinformation that mislead many into adopting temporary solutions, escapism, blaming, smoking, addiction, or seeking help from wrong sources, while others persistently make efforts to change their circumstances. Others give up and allow these circumstances to define who they really are not. Some have adopted new characters, anger, to overcome these challenges. Others have gone into drugs, some to prostitution, and some have turned suicidal. Problems never quit. But you know what? You can make a smart decision today by desiring Jesus more, by taking a step out of your comfort zone and embracing Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. The Lord will hear you. The Lord will intervene in your life. He will lead you. He will guide you. He will direct you. And above everything, He will restore you and give you
a new life
to live, hearts and minds in one accord. Pastor Kevin.
Hallelujah. Tonight, we continue with our Destiny Changer series. It is very important for those of us who have started the series to continue to attend. We made every attempt to make this information available online also for those of you who are following us. And this is just a continuation before we go deeper. Hallelujah. And tonight, the title is, What Does It Take to Change a Destiny? That is where we will dwell on tonight. Hallelujah. Let us invite the Lord again to take total control. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you again for the opportunity that you have given us to be in your presence. We thank you for the word that you have prepared in advance already for us. You say that men shall not believe, live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of your mouth. Tonight your people have come. Your people have gathered with expectation that whatever you will say through your servant, they will receive from it, they will apply it in their life, and they will see the manifestation of your words. Father, as I decrease, may you increase in me through the power of your Holy Spirit. May you speak to your people tonight. Let the people hear your voice, not me. I hide myself behind the cross of Calvary. I say, Lord, take total control of everything. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, when we begin with the topic of destiny, and we begin to talk about the destiny, we think of destiny as something that pertains to our future, the event that will necessarily happen to a particular person to fulfill a predetermined purpose. And when we begin to read our Bible, we begin to understand that we are exposed to certain events that took place in the life of certain individuals to fulfill a predetermined purpose. Now, before we can answer the question, what does it take to change a destiny or for one to move in the direction that God has ordained, the place where God has ordained for one to be, we must first understand the basic purpose of our very existence. I've underlined two, but there can be more. But these two will summarize everything about the life of every human being. Number one, we were created for the glory of God. We were created for the glory of God. Isaiah 43 verse 7 says, everyone who is called by my name whom I have created for my glory. I have formed him. Yes, I have made him. We understand that the fact that God is our creator and he put all of us together. David said, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. It's for a purpose. And we know that when we begin to look at our society, we see all these flashing cars that we drive. You have a taste that you have in your garage. When the manufacturer put the car together, he assigned a purpose to that car. You can only know the full purpose of the car when you are familiar with the manual. And many times, people use this car, they're not capable to know what the car can do. At one point, they begin to encounter situations, they bring it back to the dealership. The dealership say that you did not use the car the way you're supposed to use it. This is what you're supposed to do at this particular situation. Number two things. The Bible makes us to understand that we were created in Christ Jesus to do good work. The work that you will do will bring glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, what does it take for us to move in the direction that God has called us to be? To change our destiny? Because many of us who started, we started with our own goal. We started with our own plan. Before you came to Christ, you had your own agenda. But when you come to Christ, you now realize that Christ has created you for his own glory, and he has created you because he has prepared you for good work that is set aside in advance. Number one thing, we must understand that our destiny is in God's hands. No matter what we do, wherever we go, where we study, we will never understand our true destiny until we come to God. When we look at Moses, Moses was raised in the Egyptian environment. He grew up with the wisdom of the Egyptian. He was known as a prince and a judge. He had influence, but when he came to fulfill the purpose that God has for him, the destiny that God ordained for him, he was not able to use what the Egyptian people taught him. It's only with God, the technique, the wisdom of God, that he was able to fulfill his assignment. We are born on earth for a particular purpose, regardless of the condition through which the Lord allows us to see this world. We must understand that. And the system of this world has made us to believe that we must all get involved in something to be productive in our life. As long as you are working somewhere, it does not matter the job, you begin to feel like you are doing something, you are fulfilling a purpose. But it's not necessarily true. Because you can be doing the wrong thing, but you are not doing nothing to bring you to the destiny that God has ordained for you. And when we look at the world, we listen to some of the messages that are being preached. A lot of messages, they are tailored to encourage us to keep doing what we are already doing. We have our own plan. We need someone to motivate us when we are down. Someone to encourage us to keep doing what we are doing. And then when we get to that goal, we realize that it's not really what God has called us to do. And so our destiny is in God's hands. And the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 5, verse 13 to 14, it says, therefore, my people have gone into captivity because they have no knowledge. In the presence of God, you have the knowledge of God, not the knowledge of the world. And when you are out of the presence of God, out of his knowledge, you are automatically in captivity. Because you are not operating in the divine knowledge of God. You are using other knowledge. That is why we sing this song, I was lost. How were you lost? Because you did not know the right way. But when you come back to your senses, you realize, I stepped out from my father's house. I went to do what I wanted to do, enjoy myself. We know the story of the prodigal son. He wanted everything right now, but was immature about it. And when the time came, the father just released the portion that befell him, and he went out there, he squandered everything. But when he came back, did he come back with the same mentality? No. He came back with the humility, ready to submit, because he understood that he did not have the wisdom that he's supposed to have in order to acquire everything that his father worked hard to provide for him. Hallelujah. And many of us, we come and go without ever knowing the purpose that God has for us. People die every day. People commit themselves to all kinds of things, but not to what God has called them to do. And their lives, they live their life in a perpetual captivity because they never understood that their destiny lies in the hands of their Creator. Instead of circumstances that befall them. Some people, they allow circumstances to just, wherever the wind blow, that's where they go. What is hot in the market right now? What is the hardest job? You abandon what you're doing to go and do somebody else's job, thinking without asking yourself, is it where God has called me to be? So, and many people are moving that way. Now, the Bible helps us to understand in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 9, it says, but those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful laws which draw men in destruction and perdition because of the love of money. Because we don't understand that our destiny is in the hands of God. Until we come back to God and ask God, Father, what is my purpose? What is the direction you have for my life? We will not be able to move forward. In Jeremiah chapter 29, when the children of Israel were in captivity because they were acting in rebellion, they were brought to the place where they're supposed to be. But they begin to misbehave in that place, and God allowed the Babylonians to take them to captivity. God reminded them that, for I know the thought that I think towards you. It is God who knows the thoughts, the destiny that he has for us, the direction that he has called us to follow. He's the one who knows it. Nobody knows the thought that he has. That is why we are to get ourselves familiar with his word. It says that those thoughts are thought of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Number two things. For us to be able to change our destiny and align ourselves to the one that God has for us is our choice to follow God with our whole heart. God never forced any of us. When the children of Israel were delivered from their bondage and brought to the holy mountain of God, they were given a choice in order to experience the best that God has promised to give them. Initially, before God brought them to the promised land, he said to Moses, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and I've heard their cry because of their taskmaster. He said, I know their soul, so I have come down to deliver them out of the hands of Egyptians, and to do what? To bring them up from that land to a good and large place. He had a purpose. He had a direction where he was trying to take the people. And he gave them a total description of the area. But the people became rebellious. And toward the end, Moses told the children of Israel in Deuteronomy chapter 10, chapter 30, verse 15. It says, see, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil, in that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his way and to keep his commandment, his statutes, and his judgment, that you may live and multiply. And the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you go to possess. Moses warned the people before they get to the place. He told them, look, listen, you have a choice. Just like every one of us, God allows us to see every day. We know that tomorrow is not a guarantee. God can decide to call you just like that and you are gone. But every day that we wake up to see is an opportunity for us to make choice. Am I going to make the choice to follow God today or to continue in my way? When we look at the life of the people who lived during the time of Noah, when you do your research, it said that God gave them 120 years. Mm-hmm. The ark was built in 5 years, but they had 120 years. And during that 120 years, God gave Noah and his son a message. He said, preach to those people, tell them that I'm giving you 120 years to change your way, so that what I prepare as evil to come upon you, I will repent from it. But the people, they will not listen to God. They hardened their hearts. And when the time came, God said, well, the end of all flesh has come before me. And many of us today, we may not realize that we are living on our last straw. We don't know when God will call us home. We have a choice. When you are laying down on your sick bed, the doctor has already diagnosed you with a particular disease and has told you that you have just few months to live. You are preparing yourself to say goodbye to your family, your loved one. You have a choice at that moment. When that minister comes to you and begin to talk to you about God, because there's still life in you. And when there's life in you, there is hope of eternity. There is hope that God can change your circumstance at any time. And you begin to live and get back to that road of destiny. Hallelujah. Amen. Number three, we must line up our vision with the vision of God. A lot of people who give themselves to God, now that you know Christ, you know there is life in Christ, you know that He came to give you an abundance of things, you say, oh, I have this plan. Let me bring it to the presence of God so that God can help me fulfill this plan. Without understanding that when God save you, He saved you for a purpose. He has a plan for you. How many of us, when an employer hire you, you come with your own agenda, you say, thank you for hiring me, this is what I will do for your company? No, it doesn't work like that. It will tell you, this is the work description. It will give you a time to learn. We have 90-day probation, and if you don't adapt, you better look for somewhere else where you're going to be employed. And so God give us the opportunity to be familiar with what He has given us as law and also the vision. Because the people begin to understand, they must be transformed. Whatever they used to do, whatever bad behavior, the things you used to do, the places where you used to go, you now understand that you cannot serve God this way. You must give it up if you must make it to the place where God has called you to be. Moses told the people, hey, choose today, not tomorrow. How do you choose? You obey, you submit to God. Yes. Submit to his commandment and everything so that God will multiply you and allow you to prosper in the place where He's taking you. But the people did not listen. And today we also have the same opportunity. Every one of us has been called by God to fulfill a particular purpose, and that purpose is under the vision of God. In the book of Acts chapter 22 verse 17 to 21, the apostle Paul began to share about his vision, how he encountered God. He said, now it happened when I returned to Jerusalem and was praying in the temple that I was in a trance and saw him saying to me, make haste and get out of Jerusalem quickly, for they will not receive your testimony concerning me. So I say, Lord, then know that in every synagogue I imprison and beat those who believe on you. And when the blood of the martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by, consenting to his death and guarding the clothes of those who were killing him. Then he said to me, depart, for I will send you far from here to the Gentile. God had a purpose, clear purpose, because many of us, when we start the work of God, the work of ministry, we have our own things together. We have what we learn in school, but we have not come to understand that no, God also has the master plan of everything. When Moses brought the people from the land of Egypt to the mountain, and then God calling to that mountain, there was a silence for 7 days. God did not say anything. Moses was just sitting there in the presence of God. And when God finally broke that silence and began to let him know about the laws and everything, he was now able to let the people know, this is the law. This is how God wants us to behave with him, with the community, treat one another. Hallelujah. And God has a purpose for us, and we must line up with his vision. Number 4, talk about sowing a seed. When Jesus shared the parable of the sower, it was to teach his disciples the value of the seed. We know that the seed is the word of God. Which is the word of God, and the conditions of the soil must go through in order for that seed to bear fruit as intended. We know that the seed is good because the Bible says that in Isaiah 55:11, it says that God cannot speak, and his word come back to him without accomplishing his purpose. So the seed is good. But the question is, where the seed is received, that heart, is the heart ready for what the seed will do? Is the heart prepared for the abundance that the seed will bring? Hallelujah. So we must spend time in the word of God and allow ourselves to be transformed. And many times, we must also allow ourselves to go through season. The seed has time where it seems like when you put the seed in the ground, you bury it, it's like nothing is happening. It's still going through the season. It's going through the season. And so sometimes we have those seasons in our life where it's like God is not doing anything, but he's still working. He's still working. Now, while he's working, he's teaching us other things. What are you saying to that seed that is planted in you? When the word of God is given out to come to you, it comes as a seed. Do you speak that seed, that same word, to your life? Do you water it with something tangible? Something that you can bring simply to show appreciation for what God has spoken over your life. A lot of people, they receive revelation. They receive words for God to prosper them. And when they enter that time of prosperity, they don't remember God anymore. Church becomes secondary. God, I don't have any more time. I have contracts. I must sit and sign. Make sure that the people are doing, what about God? And when we look at the life of Nabal, David was working hard with his men to make sure that this man never lacked anything, because David was a warrior. But then it came to a time, a point where he had so much, and when David came with his men to have something for him, they said, "Who is this man that I should share my bread with him?" And David became so mad that he was about to wipe every male of that family. He took Abigail, his wife, who acted quickly in order to save him, to share that blood. And so if we are not able to recognize the manifestation of God's word in our life, when you look at your life, you look at where God took you from and brought you here. See how you're blossomed. I was sitting in the car with my daughter, and we were learning about the love that God has for his children. He said, when I find you, nobody wanted you. You were there struggling in your blood. But then when I passed by, I saw you struggling in your blood. I had compassion on you. I took you in. I cleansed you. I clothed you. I gave you the best. The best of the best. You grew up. I still passed by, I saw that you were at the time where you were ready to love. And I clothed you with the best. You became mine at that moment. But then when you grew up, you begin to trust in your beauty. You begin to trust in everything that you had. And you took what I've given you and played the harlot and begin to share with others. And God became very disappointed. And many of us, When the seed has matured, the seed has manifested, has multiplied in our life, do we come back to the one who has spoken over our life to bring the portion to appreciate? We know that we cannot see God, but what about the man of God? The man who stood as a vessel that God used in order to speak those words into our life. Do we honor him for the seed? Do we honor him for his seed? Hallelujah. Number five, we must be courageous, or be those who will not quit because of the level of trials. Hallelujah. Yesterday, I'm laughing because, wow. When it was time for me to share my devotion, I share a message on favor, walking with the favor of God. And one of the things that God pressed in my heart is to let the people know that no matter what you are going through, remember that God loves you. Remember that the favor of God is in you because Christ is in you. After I preached that message and I started to work, I was feeling good. I had all my plan that I'll finish my day at a particular time because I had a session that was waiting for me. I came to the customer. I had one person ahead of me. And when my turn came for me to deliver, guess what? My unit just died. The unit just died. I did all I could do to power the unit. The unit will not power up. I call somebody else to come and assist me. It will not power up. I found myself in the shop. For hours, I did not plan. But I had to learn to trust God. I called Pastor and we started laughing. We prayed together. We knew that God was in control. Yes. Did we know when the situation was going to end? No, we did not know. But we prayed. We lift everything into his hands. Amen. But then at the end, what happened? A report came out. It was just a small problem. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. So we give God the glory. And sometimes, when you live by faith, you have a business that is struggling to strive. You don't have enough money. And then a report come out to tell you that, oh, that problem that you're facing, it will cost you this much in order to redeem it. What will you do? You're working with God. You know that God is with you. And Jesus has already said that in this world, we'll have what? Tribulation. But don't lose heart, because I've overcome the world. You must trust Jesus. Hallelujah. And when we look at the children of Israel in Exodus chapter 17, verse 8 to 10, we see Moses commending Joshua because the Amalekites were coming to fight against the children of Israel. It said, now Amalek came and fought with Israel in Rephidim, and Moses said to Joshua, choose us some men and go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. So Joshua did as Moses said to him and fought with Amalek. So my question is, where did Joshua get that courage to fight the people? Because you don't hear that he fought the war before. But the word was given to him to follow direction. It means that the dealer, the leader who saw, who gave the word to Joshua, saw something that Joshua himself did not know. Because at times when God tell you, I want you to do this, you look at yourself and say, oh God, I cannot do this. I don't have the strength. Mm-hmm. But God is telling you to do it because he already saw that you can do it.
Yes.
You are not doing it by yourself. You are doing it with the mind of God. And the Bible helps us to understand that Joshua did as Moses said to him and fought with Amalek. He believed Moses commanded him to fight the Amalekites because he saw something in him. He believed in him. Therefore, he gathered his courage and acted on that word. How many of us, whenever God instructs us to do something, we begin to consider alternate routes because of the fear and the fact that we don't see how we will succeed in that given assignment. When you look at the assignment that is given to you, you look at it like, I don't even know where to start. Pastor told me to preach. Pastor told me to prepare this. You begin to see all the slides that you have to come up with. When you look at the way Pastor ministers, you say, Pastor, I'm not at that level yet. I don't even know how to begin. Fear is clouding your head. Before you know it, you come home and you just push the assignment aside. 1 day, 2 days, 3 days has passed. And then pressure begins to mount on your head. You don't know where to start. Because you allow fear to come into your life. You didn't believe in that word. Believe in the fact that you could indeed do it with the power of God. Number six. We must remain committed to the cause. Following God has never been easy for any of us because we don't know what God knows. We don't know the way that God will ask us to take. We don't know what is on the other side, but we must be committed to do what is necessary to please God as He's patiently taking us to the place He has prepared for us. When the children of Israel, they were taken out of Egypt and they began with their journey of destiny, the first thing, they begin to complain. They complain about the food. They complain about the way God was leading them. They complain about the circumstances that they encounter because they did not know. They did not know. They were having issue trusting God because they thought this journey, they heard so much about the place. We are going to a place, to a large land. Honey is flowing. Milk is flowing. We enjoy ourselves. But from point A to point B, what is happening in between? They must go through a desert. And in that desert, God said that, I will test you here to see what is really in your heart.
That's right.
And those that have the right purpose, those who are committed, when you're a soldier and you are sent to war, there's only one rule. You cannot retreat. Because when you retreat, what happened? They shoot you. You're a coward. But when you are committed, even with fear, you are doing your job. You know that your battle body on your left side and your right side is backing you up.
Yeah.
When you are about to engage in the dangerous zone, you communicate with your comrades. Hey, you cover me on this side, you cover me on that side, while I pursue the enemy. You stay together.
Yeah.
And Moses was in front of the people. He's the one hearing from God, giving the people confirmation. But if the people cannot trust the leadership of Moses, if those that are in war, you are standing on my right side, you are standing on my left side, if I cannot trust that when a bullet is coming, you'll be able to fire against that enemy while I'm doing something else, then we cannot work together.
Yes.
There must be a level of trust because we are going in a place where the enemy is coming to bring us down. It's either you go down or I go down.
Mm-hmm.
So we must be committed. And we got... God commands us to be courageous. He commands us to be committed to His word. Trust Him because His word will never fail. And we see the children complaining when they began their journey, and many of them died because they did not want to remain committed to what was given to them. The instruction was clear. What will God tell you? For 6 days, you have to go out and collect manna. But on 7 days, you see some more hour. They go out there, walk out and see if there's any manna. And God will say that, how long will these people not believe in me? How long will they treat me with contempt? They were not committed to the word of God. And so many of us, we have to look our life. Because some of us, we are going through a season of desert where God is humbling us to see what is in our hearts. Are we going to quit? Or are we going to stay committed until He purges us out from every evil intention? Hallelujah.
Amen.
And then the last one, we must remain in the presence of God through prayers. You cannot make it without prayer. When things got so hard with Moses, he always come back to the presence of God and be like, God, I cannot do it. I cannot do it. You're telling me to feed these people. I'm tired of them complaining that I do this. Am I the one who give breath to all these people? Moses will complain to God in prayer. He will voice himself. And God will begin to talk to him. Now you will see, where were the Israelite people when God was giving him the strategy? They were not there. He was in the presence of God. And then when we go back, Jesus told us through persistence, effort, that prayer delivers results when he shared the parable of the unrighteous judge. We know about that widow.
Yes.
Ah, she will not let that judge have a break until he finally gave in to that justice. And then Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it will not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruits. So if God is there, is attentive to listen to our cry, to listen to our concern, whatever he has given us as a task, when things get difficult, you know, he's the boss. Now, as the boss, he has other people that are assigned. Don't complain to the one that is just the messenger. Because you complain to him, you are complaining directly to God. And God does not like that. So, you bring your case to God. There was one testimony that was shared one time about a preacher. Every time he preached, he would have a newspaper on his armpit. And the people will come, they are ready for the word, but the people will not get the word because he will always end up talking about the latest news. So at one point, the people begin to ask, this man is not preaching anything. We are there. Nobody is going. There were three mama. They decided to take it upon themselves that they would take this man into prayer. They hammer prayer. Ask God, God, we are suffering here. We are not growing, and the servant that you have appointed to be the one to lead us is not doing the words. They pray. They begin to see change in the life of this minister. At first, he puts the newspaper aside. He began with the word, but he was struggling. But then at last, he told everybody to open his Bible. He didn't know what he was going to preach, but when he started to read the scripture, he realized what he did. He humbled himself and he cried out. At that moment, the Holy Spirit descended upon him with force, and then we begin to preach. There was a revival in the church. Amen. Because he humbled himself. So this evening, brothers and sisters, we started a series on destiny. And tonight, we were just talking about what it takes to change destiny. I don't know where you are going. I don't know which route you have taken. But I want you to consider a moment to reflect on this message. Is God talking to you? Is God talking to you about the choice that you made? Because he desired to take each and every one of us to the place that he has prepared for us. But he cannot do it if we will not submit to him. Can we rise up on our feet?
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the word that you have prepared for us tonight. We thank you, O Father Lord, that you are taking us to that expected end. Your word declared that, for you know the thought that you have for us, thought of peace, not of calamity, but to bring us a bright future and hope. Father, many of us, we have gone astray. Because we have taken upon ourselves to follow our own desire. But tonight, O Father Lord, you have spoken to us through your words. Because our destiny is in your hands. It is you who know the thought that you have for us. It is you who know the roads. You know the trial we must go through in order to be to the other side. Tonight we surrender ourselves to you. Whatever is holding us back, we command it to be broken in our life in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we pray that a new fire will kindle our hearts to recommit ourselves to you wholeheartedly. Because we want to do what is right. We want to please you in everything. We thank you for the opportunity that you have given us, even to consider this day that you have given us, that we must make a choice to follow you. We thank you that you love us. Love us enough that you will remind us kindly that there is still time for us to amend our way to come back to you. Because you are committed to take us to that expected end. Though many may fail, many may question your way, you're still the same. You still love us. You're still taking us to that place. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your love. We appreciate everything that you do for us. We humble ourselves and say, Lord, have your way in our life. Take total control of everything. In Jesus' name, amen.